Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Really excited now to head to Indianapolis and spend some time with former NBA champ and coach and now the VP of communications for the Pacers. Also serves as their TV analyst on Fox Sports Indiana. Quinn Buckner joining us on the show. And Quinn, this game was double figures for much of the first half, followed by this really strong third quarter from Indiana to get the Pacers back into it. So in the end, what did this game come down to?
Well, LeBron got help tonight. I mean, he started them off well, which I thought was going to be important and something that he would do. And then they got some bench support. Clarkson played a huge part of it. I even saw LeBron pat him on the head when he went out. You know, just like the young fellas come in and help. Larry Nance is always very active. But then they were able to get some plays. In addition, Korver, who had really struggled, didn't make a three-pointer, didn't make any baskets at all in the last contest, started knocking down three-point shots, and they were able to get some guys free. But at the end, you still, once you start getting threes made, even when Bogdanović tried to stay in front of LeBron, it's a lot harder to do when you got to be concerned about people in the corner shooting three-pointers. So I really thought that was what made the difference. Korver makes them, Love made some. And at that point, you got LeBron, and LeBron one-on-one with anybody is a tough matchup, and he just took advantage of it.
Mm. Now, there were seven different Pacers who were in double figures, but Victor Oladipo had a tough shooting night. Did you see anything different that the Cavaliers did against him defensively?
No, they really did the same thing. What they would do is if there was a pick and roll and it was with a big, they would just trap him to get the ball out of his hand, and if not, it was with LeBron, they were switching it. So he ended up in the situations where he was throwing the ball to other people and or if he had to shoot it, he's got to shoot it over LeBron. He just didn't make shots. You know, if you've been around this for a while, I mean, it's a make-or-miss league. If you don't make shots, then things just don't work out. And he didn't make shots.
The Pacers, they're obviously in a good spot here, even though they've lost the home court, which they had grabbed by winning in Cleveland. When you look overall at these four games, it seems as though the Cavaliers, when they speed it up, when they're uber aggressive, when they can get the pace the way that they want it, they have more success. When the Pacers are successful, what does it look like, Quinn?
It's the same thing. When the Pacers are successful, first, both sides have to make shots. But when the Pacers can get the pace up, they're much better. This is the way it's been all year long. But the difference is, you know, you got a solid nine-man rotation with the Pacers that can allow that to happen. When the Cavs don't have that pace, part of the reason they don't have that pace is Clarkson is one of their most athletic players. So they get him out on the floor, and if he's making baskets, he pushes the ball up and gives them a chance to get some pace going. J.R. Smith got some shots going. But you get a whole different kind of game when you get support from the bench, and they got support from the bench tonight.
We're spending a few minutes with the VP of Communications and a TV analyst for the Indiana Pacers, also a former NBA champion guard. It's Quinn Buckner with us after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So, Quinn, this is a Pacers team that had a lot of changes, a bunch of different pieces kind of inserted, and I think there was this idea that Indiana might use this as more of a rebuilding year. Why did it come together so quickly?
Well, for a number of reasons. One, Thaddeus Young, who was with the Pacers last year, I thought did a great job, has done a great job so far in terms of his leadership. But I do think that Victor Oladipo and DeMontis Sabonis have come in and been solid for this team. And I think, you know, obviously with Victor making the All-Star team, you get a heck of a player in that. But Victor is also a humble player, so he shares the wealth. And what I've seen with this team and been blessed enough to do all of the games this year, what he does is he makes sure that everybody else is a part of what's going on. And they pull for each other. They care for each other. It's a chemistry thing. It really is. I mean, they legitimately care for each other. Victor has been at the forefront. But, you know, Bogdanovich has had his role. You get Darren Collison. He's been added. Mm-hmm. As is Corey Joseph, who's been toughened at Toronto and San Antonio. So he's got some things going for him. So it was put together with the thought that the team, you want to see what the team could do when it got into difficult situations and find out those players who you want to keep going down the road. I think Kevin Pritchard and Donnie Walsh, Chad Buchanan, and Peter Dinwiddie have done a very good job. And Larry Bird is in the background doing things as well. But they've done a very good job of getting guys that just know how to play and are willing to play the right way. And the interesting thing about the right way is I listened to Nate McMillan, the coach of the Pacers tonight. He didn't feel like the team played the right way. He felt like there's some guys that felt like they needed to take shots, sometimes a big shot, and they didn't get it to go. And that is not the hallmark of this team. This team has played very well together and normally made some good choices. But, again, you miss shots, and a lot of these things start to come to the forefront.
I hadn't heard that about Larry, my all-time favorite athlete. What is he doing behind the scenes?
Larry he's still a confidant for Kevin Pritchard. That's because Larry is an Indiana guy anyway, and Herb Simon, our owner, has great confidence in Larry, and you know, I'm sure a lot of the major decisions Kevin talks about with Herb, of course, because that's where the money is. But he talks them through with Larry Bird to make sure that, you know, that they're sound. If there's some holes in the thought process, those guys tend to work it out. But Larry is not any longer a day-to-day in the organization. But I knowing Larry, I know Larry well enough to know he's still involved.
Well, you mentioned that there's this idea of kind of seeing which of these guys the Pacers want to keep and want to continue to build around. Do you feel like this group has earned its keep, so to speak?
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, it becomes down to a contractual thing then. Some guys have player options, so they can make some decisions. But I think, all in all, when you look at the players brought in, that anybody would be satisfied with what you have. Because I think, Amy, you would know this, and I'm sure your listeners know as well. When the trade was made, when Paul George just made it clear that he wasn't going to re-sign with the Pacers,
right,
then at that point you've got to go get the best deal you can get. Well, Kevin Pritchard and his team went out and got Victor Oladipo, who had been traded from Orlando, along with the rights to Domantas Sabonis, to Orlando. Well, they played, Oklahoma City, so they played there. And they played in a style that was a little difficult, I think, for both of them, because Westbrook was having a historic year, and it didn't necessarily work out for those guys. So when they got with the Pacers prior to all of that, they got themselves in really good shape, which I thought was the first thing and a great, great sign for guys in their preparation to try to have success. And once they did that, they learned some things in their previous stop, and I think both of them brought that to the Pacers with an understanding how to play and compete at this level, and it's been beneficial, I think, for the players, but for the team as well.
Quinn Buchner is a longtime NBA guard and now a VP of Communications and the TV analyst for the Indiana Pacers. So fresh off of Game 4 between the Cavs and the Pacers in Indiana, it's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. What was the atmosphere like? It seemed like the crowd was good, but it's always hard to tell on TV.
Pacers fans, they're fanatics. That's what a fan is. They're very good fans. They were, you know, pulling for the guys. They were supporting them, you know, in difficult times. And it was. It got quite loud. And it's nice that the place got that loud, because I'm not sure anybody thought this. When the trade was made, you know, people were looking at the Pacers, and all of the pundits were saying somewhere in the neighborhood of between 32, maybe 35 games. This team won 48 games. Mm. And you had to gain some loyalty from some people. But at the end of the day, when you've got people that play hard, play the right way, do the right things in terms of the community and others, then you've got something that's really good. And I think that's what the Pacers want to build on.
You have extensive playoff experience yourself when you were in the NBA. You also coached. What changes when you get to the postseason?
Intensity, because everybody knows every possession matters. It's 82 games is hard. It's hard to be able to sustain it at a high level. So you have to figure out the highest level you can sustain it at and try to and play 82 games. Now, when you get into playoffs, there is only one way to play. If you're playing with trying to, you know, get through the game, you're going to get beaten. And so the intensity picks up. And it picks up not only I mean, I think it picks up now, and it'll be a really intense game in Cleveland on Wednesday. But whomever gets to the next round is going to find it picks up. LeBron is very familiar with that, having gone to 7 finals. But the round after that and then the finals, it's the intensity level for it, the scrutiny of it all makes it a difficult thing for some people to handle. And that's why you see some teams have more success than others.
So what do you remember about your championship run?
I remember we were, in this stage, I say we were arrogant, but we were arrogant about how good we were. And we were, and that's a positive in the sense that if you're really good, you're stubborn about how good you are. And when things are seemingly are getting out of control, you find ways to win. One of our motto, actually, from ML Carr is don't be denied. And that's the way we went about it. We weren't going to be denied. We had the best player in the game at that time. Larry was, you know, in his run of 3 MVPs. So you got. And now, as you're looking back on the team, Danny Ainge is, you know, obviously doing a heck of a job as the head of basketball for the Celtics. But he was a good player. Robert Parrish was a really good player. I mean, these guys, Dennis Johnson, Kevin McHale, Cedric Maxwell. I mean, these are good players. I mean, all those guys. Danny, the only reason he doesn't have his jersey hung is because right now he gets to make that decision and he won't get it. But, you know, 4 out of 5 of the starters are in the Hall of Fame. So I remember playing with some really good guys on a heck of a team. And when you do that, you got a chance to have success.
And no doubt it wasn't just this girl who was falling in love with basketball, because that was my time, those 80s, when I was falling in love with the game. It's so great to so great to talk
to
you.
Thank you very much, Danny. Good talking to you, too.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.